Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You. Today I have a very, very senior and accomplished lady with me, Babita Barua. Welcome to the show. Babita is the managing partner of GTB India. She's been recognized globally for her work and she's iconic in the world of advertising. It's such an honor to have you, Babita. Babita, tell me a little bit about your early career and some of your learnings.
Thank you, Ashutosh. Before I begin, I must thank you for this opportunity and everybody who's here now or who will watch this later. Mm-hmm. These are really, challenging times, but a time for learning as well. And a lot of, what I'm doing now in the last 5 months of really working out of home has taken me back to the time when I started off working, which was also pre-technology as we know it today. And a lot of what we did then to just stay happy, to stay connected without technology. So yes, after I did my, I'm from Assam. My name is a dead giveaway, I think, Barua. And after I did my MBA from Guwahati University, there were crossroads and many, what do I do next? Correct. And I really, really dreamt of always being a classical dancer. I had learned classical dancing. I wanted to be a teacher in the academics, like a professor or researcher or something. My maternal uncles pushed me to sit for the civil services exams because they said, that's where you should go. Right. And my mother insisted that after MBA, I need to get into the corporate world. And I think she also said it because I'd lost my father when I was very young. And in her mind, she thought that this would maybe the right path for me. It may be the right path for me. My mother always wins, always won. And she won this time too. That's how I ended up exploring opportunities and landing up at HTA. So I still remember the date. It was December 2nd, 1996. I joined HTA Calcutta. It was not Kolkata yet in those days. I've not looked back since. Ashutosh, challenges are there with everyone, and they were there with me as well. But I think a lot of the challenges were also demons in my own mind. Because look, I was one of the first in my family to step out of Assam, And I always had this demon in my mind that I'm a small town girl. And I'm not a city girl. Maybe the way I dress then or talk. And it never came as feedback from anyone. That's why today I feel it was more in my mind. But I think it really pushed me to never say no, to always take on something which is challenging. I would love it if somebody else said no, because then I would be able to solve a problem, solve a difficult situation, and then get the accolades. And I think that stayed with me.
Amazing.
Yes. And I've had some personal roadblocks along the way as well, And in that, between the personal roadblocks and the professional, I have worked, Ashutosh, on I think every category, you name it, except for e-commerce, which is new. And I worked on e-commerce as part of current businesses, but not overall. But the four things I take back, and I thought about this before the interview, as to what are really some of the learnings I've had in this journey. It's 24 years, actually. The first is really trust. And I've realized that without trust, the organization trusting you, you trusting the organization, peers, colleagues, industry, everything, it's very difficult to try out the bold things, to come up with a new idea and put it on the table in the industry like ours, The second value, I think, are relationships. And to me, relationships last far beyond business. Some of my clients are with competitive agencies now, but are really on a great relationship with me. We still exchange notes. We still even connect on learnings. And same goes for agency folks. My ex-bosses are leading other agencies now. We sometimes walk into a pitch room together, but to me, it's always that one boss who helped me and I'm full of respect, The third, of course, is to always not lose the values you grew up with. To be very honest, so the demons have gone from my mind. There'll still be some, I guess, but it's gone. And the last is really personally for me, I work a lot to encourage women because I feel that women do need encouragement. I'm really, of course, in our industry, you see a lot more equality and a lot more opportunities, but we do lead a second life, a broken ladder. And these are really my four learnings, Ashutosh.
That is so important and you've articulated them so well. Thank you. And we'll talk a little bit about gender balance later on. But let's come to advertising, Babita. What makes GTB different? And I know you work for many of the agencies, so I won't ask you what are the highlights. But what makes you as the head of GTB, you know, how is GTB different from the other agencies?
GTB is a WPP setup. So a quick background, because I don't want to get into the details. That's not really the... So for key businesses, which are global businesses, to drive the optimized solutions that WPP can offer, optimized resources, the best of WPP, we have dedicated teams. And this current setup, you know, we work with Ford Motor Company globally. We are WPP's largest business. And therefore, we are one of the opcos of WPP. So in a way, yes, we are an agency, but we don't see ourselves as one, Ashutosh, because we are really business partners, because we partner our client on growth and business. What I mean by that is creativity or creative solutions are a subset to what we offer. So we start off right from strategy to even on product design, wherever the consumer input is needed, feedback is required, etc., to all touch points today. And again, I'm not getting into jargon. I hate digital jargon. But just to say, you know, if for whoever is familiar with the consumer journey today, you know, for automobiles, it's a rich journey. You don't go out and buy a 10 rupees chocolate or a drink, right? It's a lot of discovery, consideration, thought. And at every point, we partner the account, the business, with specialized teams. So I would say that is why it makes us different. It makes us very specialized. But I would also like to say that I moved in only 3 years ago from JWT. It's a group company, Wunderman Thompson now. And so to me, wherever I work, finally, and I'll quote this later as well, if I get the opportunity, finally, the power of the storyteller cannot be taken away from any partner. I also love creative solutions and the storyteller as much. And to that extent, I wouldn't like to be very different from all other agencies, because the magic really lies in that at the end of the day.
I agree. So let's talk of advertising in general. You know, when I used to work for ITC, and I spent 17 years with ITC, you know, we had launched Sundrop Oil and Kokun Mukherjee. I'm sure you've heard the name. 96th in Calcutta, he was a big name. He was the most iconic name for young people like me. And everyone said advertising is the world to be in, you know, partying, socializing. And then came Mad Men, the serial. What, according to you, is really advertising? And I know it's a lot of hard work. So how is advertising beginning to change over the years?
ITC brought back memories, because my first business in JWT, Wunderman Thompson, Kolkata, was Wills. And every day it was a trudge in a black and yellow cab to the office, absolutely. And I have such fond memories. You know, you're starry-eyed, you get into the white building and you handle some of the... They were the most powerful brands, right? I mean, iconic work, etc. So we were very proud. Thank you for jogging my memory on that. I also watched Mad Men, and you are right. I mean, you look back and sometimes you wonder, oh my God, those were the days, for the right reasons, of course. Yeah. I think the socializing aspect, as to, you know, the glitz and the glamour side, the fun side of the very informal, casual atmosphere of advertising, came from, especially in those days, it came from, if you compare, if you set that industry aside with other industries, the others were fairly very suit and tie conservative, given the order of the day. And there were these creative mavericks who really came up with ideas, and therefore clients liked meeting and talking and engaging. Our agencies like doing that well beyond office hours, you know, because there is no hour, there is no fixed hour to creativity, even now, you know. And I think that's where that perception remained. It's still a very fun place to work in, but I don't think really it can be defined by that any longer. You are right. It has changed. It is changing a lot. And anybody who denies that it is changing, that some things don't change, I think we have to be open to, yes, like I said, you know, the power of storytelling, the power of creativity never changes. But I think today we are at an age where we have data, we have connectivity, and with that comes information. And information is democratized, you know. You have creative tools and exposure to great ideas, which is democratized. So what happens is today, the consumer does not just consume advertising. The consumer can also create advertising and put it up, you know. And a lot of brands are actually welcoming that. So I think this whole thing of this is an industry which is specialized and nobody can get into it, like say a lawyer or a doctor or an engineer. I think technology and creativity and the kind of exposure, tools, etc., has to a large extent widened the net a lot. So unless advertising changes, and we are all rapidly changing, you know, there are different aspects. It's embracing technology, first of all. It's really mobile first, digital first, and not really the age-old films that you would write. And I'm only talking of output now. It's thinking of data in the context of people and how we can see them through the journey from the first time they consider the product till they buy it, and even after that as a loyal customer, you know. And it's also about e-commerce. It is also about engagement, because today people are not about just a linear communication. You want to engage. You want to talk. I'll give you an example, Ashutosh. Just before this, I was on Twitter with a very dear friend of mine who wrote a tweet yesterday, and it was to one of the celebrities in the sporting world appreciating the person. And early this morning, he's got a reply from that person himself, and he has been his icon, you know, and he just wrote, and even I wrote back and said, oh my God, this is a wow. And I just realized, my God, we wouldn't have dreamt about even connecting with a celebrity before. The brand used to bring the celebrity to us on a screen, and we would at least feel, oh my God, we see somebody besides a film, you know, when somebody is holding a piece of soap or a shampoo or whatever. Today, you don't need a brand to do that. You can do it yourself. Yes. So I think along with these changes in terms of value, of course, the talent mix is changing, Ashutosh. More importantly, I think there is a lot of humbleness that has come into the industry, because to your point on socializing and being those mavericks, because unless we are humble to the fact that we as an industry understand brands and we are partnering growth, but anybody who has an idea can be welcome and will only help and nurture it. Unless we take that mindset, it'll be very difficult for us to survive as an industry.
Very, very well said. Very well said. So my next question to you is that, and you've already spoken a little bit about it, that traditional platforms of advertising use were print media and television and cinema. But now with the onset of different devices, handheld devices, what is it doing to advertising? I mean, you know, must be a huge transition taking place within the advertising agencies to adapt to such technologies.
Yes. However, I must say in India, so there are two sides to the India story. One is that, of course, India is leapfrogging change because of the penetration of mobile phones and smartphones, right? So today, anybody who has really even 1,000 rupees or less can afford a mobile phone, if not a smartphone, and definitely for a little more a smartphone, which accesses the net and social platforms very, very easily, right? So to that extent, you are right. There's a lot of change. But to be fair, some of what we call traditional media, and I'm really quoting, unquoting traditional, because I myself don't like the use of the term. To me, some of these are just about scale and reach. They are much more prevalent in India, just in terms of even budgets and allocation. For example, a television or a print for a lot of categories, because of the scale, you know, because of the confidence that people still get from, okay, if I've seen them on such media, they are here to stay. They are not just a local, you know, thing. And which is why you see big sponsorships on sport events or so much spent on these media. You know, it's worth it, especially in this country as of now. However, the other side, what you're saying, the other screens are very, very strongly permeating into our lives. And I said, to me, it is not just about consumption on those screens, but the fact that it's also about creation of ideas and sending it back to other people, to clients, and to us. So people may love something someone else has created far better than what we've created, for instance. What it is doing is, Ashutosh, on one hand, what has not changed is, sometimes it is just that the consumption mode has changed, you know, so you're watching it on a screen, you're watching a shorter duration, etc. But it is still something which is based on a deep insight, a story that has connected to the brand and made it relevant for me. So to that extent, that still stays and nothing can take that away. What has changed are the innovations. So today it is not just about a storytelling exchange. You know, there are different ways in which I can invite you. I can help you create something. I can give you a platform to do your own thing. I can be an ally, I can be an advisor, I can be a mentor, I can be your playmate, I can give you a gaming experience and through that you understand what I'm about. Great. All of that, we never did that before as an industry.
Yeah.
So initially, I think we started off with clients looking at different players. So for creative, there was one agency, then there was digital, then there were smaller players, then there were gaming industry. I think today from that divergence, Ashutosh, there is convergence again, where the industry is again, you know, either you are acquiring new skills or talent or maybe merging and just acquiring companies that are known for, you know, those and making one unified offer to the client and the business, which is why I keep saying it is no longer about a creative solution. It is about partnering on growth. And if you do that, anybody who's into growth, you will bring them to the table. So that's really the change.
Very well said. So, you know, when I was reading about you, there are two initiatives that you have started in your workplace. One is called the She Hour and the other is the She Time. And you did say you support a lot of women. Talk to me about both these initiatives.
It is actually similar. I changed the name a little because I moved from one opco to the other within the same group. I initiated it, but honestly, it's the team and the organization that supported me. But I would like to, because, you know, when something is a baby that you first initiate, you want to carry that forward. You are the primary stakeholder of that idea, right? So to that extent, yes, She Hour and She Time. And like I said, because it's the same concept, it struck me because, like I said, you know, whether they are personal challenges or external challenges,
right.
I think there was a time when I realized a couple of years ago when I started that if I had the kind of women around, if I had the kind of women that young women have around them today, I would have got a lot of perspectives on, from simple things on how to handle personal challenges to even domain knowledge, expertise, how do you handle that, to health, you know, to well-being, and all of that was playing on my mind. And I thought, why not devote just an hour to start with every month, where all the women get together, starting with, of course, our own OPCO and our own team. And, you know, it's like you drop inhibitions and you drop designations.
Right.
You need to drop both when you are talking very, very candidly, you know. And it started off as this huddle around a non-existent campfire. We had some snacks and some food. And it was just about, let's talk about what are the challenges today in this hour that I face, and can anybody around the room help? And Ashutosh, we had solutions from, I'm worried about my kids and who'll pick them up from school on some days. And I wonder whether I have to take leave because maybe nobody else in the family offers to stay at home and do that. To somebody else saying, hey, I will do that for you because I have somebody at home who anyway does. There's simple things. To a larger thing of, I always struggle to express my weaknesses to people I work with because I feel that they'll look at me as a woman, and somebody's taking you as a mentor to say that, just talk to me and let's work on this problem together for the next 6 months and then we'll come up with a solution together. So it's gone up to that level. What we do now, in fact, today in the evening, we have a She Hour session where we invited WPP India's Chief Culture Officer, Apurva Bapna. She's going to speak to us about personal challenges. With technology, Ashutosh, I have now extended the invite of She Hour, not just to our OPCO. I invite other OPCOs. I invite my clients. And I do want next year, of course, with the organization support is always there, to maybe extend it to other women who want to be a part of these sessions, because technology will now allow that. You know, I mean, you can't really open office doors to everybody because of lack of space, etc. But that's really my 2021 goal.
That's fantastic. So, Babita, I'm going to move to a few personal questions. The first question is that, you know, there are a lot of people who influence us in our lives. Who are the few people who've had an influence on you, and what have you learned from them?
You know, a lot of answers to this question, Ashutosh, I'm hazarding a guess, would perhaps be my mom, you know. And to that extent, maybe I'm also giving a stereotypical answer and saying my mom. Mm. But I must say that in my view, at least, there's a reason why I say it's my mom and maybe just my mom above everybody else. You know, when I was 12, my dad was working in Indian Oil, Assam Oil in Digboi. And one day he just went missing. He never came home from work.
Wow.
And I was only 12 years old and my sister was 9. And he just went missing. And 10 years later, you know, he was declared dead because his missing remains were found. I'm just cutting it short to lay the context here. My mother was only 35 then. I was 12, my sister was 9. She got a job with the company, but of course it was not what my father had, both in terms of his role as well as money. So we had to move house, we had to move cities. And we really led a life where we were very hard on resources, not just money, but also people around us, you know. And I've realized that when you're doing well, you do have more people around you. When you're not doing so well, you are pretty much alone a lot of times. And that is where, when I saw my mother, I realized that, you know, it was not easy for her to lead the life of, is she a widow or is she married? Because my dad was missing, right? He was not. But society never looks at you that way. Society always looks at you in those days. And I'm talking about this happened in 1984, right? Mm. So when I look at my mother, she got promoted, her income increased, she bought a flat for us. My mother would take leave for every exam that I sat in, or she would take my notebooks. She would write down questions and she would come back and grill me. You know, she would wake up at 4 a.m. to make me my favorite food so that when I'm awake for, you know, my exams, I would. So I'm giving these examples as to, I realized when I was 12 and my dad was not there, that my mother looks at me to really make her efforts worthwhile. She would have considered herself a failure if her daughter did not, or her daughters did not really reach the pinnacle, you know. And till her last day, I mean, she passed away in 2007. She had just retired. She was only 60. But when I look, I do a lot of things for her. I began by saying, I didn't want to be in the corporate world. I wanted to be a dancer, for God's sake, you know. But I did it for her. And every, Ashutosh, for this interview today, I mean, I woke up in the morning and I prayed to her and said, Mom, watch this. I'll try and make you proud. I mean, that's what she is for me. And which is why I do. She's my driving force and she always will be. Because
so, so well said. Thank you. You know, you really shared it with a lot of thinking. My next question to you, Babita, is that if you were a role model to millions of children who followed your life choices, what would be the one thing you would change in yourself?
I think it would be my ability to forgive. And I think, and I'm talking personally now, because I did undergo a separation, a divorce. And I think the learning from that has been, there is a lot of bitterness you hold against people who were part of your life, right? And then when I look around and I introspect now, I realize that this is one quality I'm really trying to focus and build on, you know, because to me, it has always been about, I don't want to forget what this person has done or what that setup has done. And in a way, maybe at that point, it was a driving force also to get me some result, because you need something. Negative energy is not always bad, you know, it does propel you to. But today, for the young generation, for children, I think the values of the world are changing so much that if inherently we don't have the power to forgive, it'll be very difficult for us to stay in a connected world, you know. So which is why I think, yeah, that would be.
Wonderful. So my last question to you, you know, and this is relating to the pandemic. My question is that how are you rethinking your life? We've already spoken about work in, you know, and how 5.5 months is changing. How are you rethinking your life post the pandemic?
You know, Ashutosh, I had always struggled with that famous balancing that everyone needs to do. But I guess women need to do a little more, because just, you know, if there are no potatoes at home, you get the call. Yeah. If the child wants homework done, you get the call. So from that respect, I'm just sort of it was always a challenge for me. And to be fair, I've also had regrets. You know, my daughter is 14 years old. She's going to be 14 in October. And I don't think I spend as much time with her like I spend with, you know, weekends I'm spending teaching in colleges, in management institutes, or I'm doing some mentoring, or I'm talking to women. I also not consult on legal divorce, but if somebody's going through the process, because of my learnings, I have a page on Facebook and people call me up, women call me up, and I try and guide them on the process. In doing all of this and getting my pleasure, I realize sometimes that I haven't done as much for my own daughter, you know. And the pandemic, because I've been at home, I've realized that I can manage my work and everything I do while just having her around. And I would like to continue this way, not the pandemic, but this way of, I think, managed remote working, which is a great balance of, do you need to really go to a physical setup every day? Of course, there's need for that. Of course, there are advantages. But are there some days or some time where you can really work like the way you're working now? I think, of course, this is a personal view. I will defer to what the organization takes as a view. But I would like this to be there as an option for myself, everything permitting. Because I think it has made me a much more relaxed and a happy person these last 5 months.
Wonderful. Pavita, thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure speaking to you, and I wish you lots of success.
Thank you. Thank you, Ashutosh.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website www.tbcy.in to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.